Lord, we stand before you. The people of unclean lips, but you are holy, and you've given us your holiness in Jesus Christ, and we thank you. And Lord, we stand before you in awe because you are so good and you are so beyond our comprehension. And Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to speak to our hearts and let your word penetrate the darkness, the hardness of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you'd strengthen us, move us to walk in your ways, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use us to make an impact on our community. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you'd move my personal thoughts or ways out of the way and only let your holy truth come forth from your word. Oh God, we look forward to what you have to tell me and to tell this congregation today from your holy scripture. Lord, we stand in awe of you. God, I pray that you bless the children as they go to their classes. And Lord, I pray that you'd manifest your glory and your presence among us this morning like we've never seen or heard before, because you are beyond our experience. You are beyond our comprehension. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are deeper than our thoughts, Lord Jesus. And we honor and bless and say, holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb of God today. Holy is your name, Lord. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning as the children are dismissed for junior church today. And I want to begin by asking you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 10, or rather. I said 9. Mark chapter 10. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to talk about marriage from the beginning. And I want to begin by giving a phrase at the beginning, or something at the beginning. I don't know what you want to call it, but something that maybe will get me off the hook later. But I want to say that this passage is very powerful, it's very strong, it's very convicting, and it's very moving. And it comes to the fidelity of marriage. And there are people in here that have experienced and have gone through bad times or made mistakes or have gone through divorces. And so this passage or this message today is not to judge up the past and bring judgment for the past, but as Jesus meant it to be, what are we going to do now? So remember that. Because God is a God of grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. And the mistakes of the past are the mistakes of the past. But nevertheless, God teaches a strong stance on the fact that He has ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman for one lifetime. And that is the teaching of Scripture. And so let's read in chapter 10, verses 1. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him, and again, and as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up and in order to test him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Well, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they no longer two, but one flesh. And whatever God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about the matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The word of the Lord as we come before him this morning. Now, I want to talk about marriage from the beginning. And there is a huge push today for self-fulfillment, for things to be about me and about what makes me feel good, to the point that people are saying, if you are uncomfortable in your marriage, get out there, break free. That is not what God teaches. People define peace as self-fulfillment, but that's not real peace. It's not lasting peace. Real peace is God's kind of peace. It's shalom peace that brings about prosperity and satisfaction by us operating and living in the way that God intended from creation. And so as we come into this text, Jesus was moving towards Jerusalem. Now remember, the bulk of his ministry was done in Capernaum and Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, and now he is starting to move an inch his way towards the cross. And at that time, there was large crowds that were following him. In fact, in Matthew's gospel of this same account, it says that large crowds were following him and being healed. And they didn't say he healed individuals, it says large crowds. So in the context of Jesus doing miraculous miracle after miracle with large crowds following him, these Pharisees come up with a question to try, it says in the scripture, to test Jesus. And that word is the same thing as to examine, or in the bad sense, to maliciously and craftily attack someone's judgments or try to test their faith or virtue. Now, we're going to have to kind of look at this and understand from the passage where he says, did not Moses allow a man, in verse 4, to write a certificate of divorce? Now, when it comes to marriage and our marriage before God, they debated this. It was a hot debate during the time. So, during Jesus' time when he walked the earth, and I want to just explain to this really quickly. I'm going to break away my notes a little bit. This is important for us to understand. In the Old Testament, if someone committed adultery, they would be stoned to death. That was God's law and God's plan. And so, let's say a spouse, one of their spouse or the other, commits adultery, they get stoned and they die, and then that person can remarry and there's no problems, right? Because that person's dead. Well, now during this time, we come all the way to Jesus' time, the Romans had taken over and they did not allow the Jews to practice the law of God in the way that he meant it to practice. So it became a hot debate on what was the meaning of this particular scripture when Moses said, give a certificate of divorce. And in the Old Testament, that scripture, I just want to read it, in Deuteronomy, this is what he's using, Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. When a man takes a wife and marries her and she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, he writes her a certificate of divorce. So they were interpreting, Moses says that divorce is good and it's okay. Now that's not what Moses said. Moses was allowing for it, not making it a rule or a law. And in the time of Jesus, there was two thoughts, just like today. There was the conservatives, and then there was those that were liberal Pharisees. So the conservatives said, what does indecency mean? They interpreted it as sexual immorality or committing adultery. Then that would be reason for the other spouse to issue a certificate of divorce. Now the liberals said, and there was even some scholars said, if your wife burns a meal, you can divorce her. Or if you find somebody else that is prettier, you can go for her and divorce your wife. Now, you see what they were trying to do is they were trying to trap Jesus. On one hand, if Jesus took the conservative view, which he does, remember what happened to John the Baptist when he took that conservative view with Herod and said, you should not be sleeping with your brother's wife. He got beheaded, right? Remember? So they said, well, either way, he's going to get in trouble with Herod, or if he goes the liberal route and doesn't get in trouble, we can get him for false teaching. And so that's what they were trying to do in this text of Scripture. And men and women are different, right? He issues these things because of the hardness of our heart. Amen. I know we have all have been there and done this in our mind when it comes to that escalator to women's shoes or hardware department. Or the hardware store or Home Depot versus going to a clothing store. Just kind of break the ice a little bit here. This is heavy stuff today. But I want to begin, number one, as we lead into this marriage from the beginning, and Jesus takes them right to the scriptures, does not include divorce. Divorce comes about because the sinful hardness of human hearts. Now remember that. And Jesus is beginning to break this down. Marriage from the beginning does not include divorce. That's why Jesus says in verse 6, but from the beginning creation, and then he begins to tell them what God meant. See? So Jesus says it's because of the hardness of your heart. He didn't say a general thing, their heart, but it's the hardness of your heart. Our hearts can become hard. Jesus emphasized the unity that's supposed to take place in marriage and the fact that God ordains marriage and we as humans don't. That's why we have that famous phrase that we use, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Have we ever thought about that when we have ever been a part of a marriage ceremony? That it wasn't those two that made the decision to make the marriage a marriage and become one. God ordained it. God ordained it. He does the work in marriage. Now, there's the exception clause in Matthew 19:9, which says, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. So there's only in the New Testament two exceptions. One is if the spouse commits adultery, but that doesn't mean you have to divorce. Why? Because in the New Covenant, God says, forgive 70 times 7. God gives us the Spirit to be able to forgive and move on from those mistakes and heal. But the other exception clause is if, let's say, you are married and one person is a believer, you get saved after you're married, and that other person that's not saved says, I don't want any of this religion stuff, so I'm going to leave you. So then that person can be remarried. Those are the only two exceptions for divorce in the Bible so that we understand what Jesus says. Adultery does not necessitate divorce, especially when we're in this new covenant. Now Jesus says, now wait a minute guys, you're interpreting this wrong, and then he takes them past Moses all the way to the beginning, to Genesis 1:27. So he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And then in chapter 2, verse 24, he says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And so Jesus quotes this passage of Scripture here. And just in case you think that Jesus was trying to say it's okay to divorce, here's another passage in Malachi. This is how God has felt from the beginning of time about marriage and divorce. Now, this is not to condemn those that have already experienced divorces. Like I said, today, from now on, move on when we understand the Word of God. Honor the marriage. So listen, I was shocked at the power of this passage. And you know what? We need to be woken up. Even for those of us that are single right now and not married yet, about the call to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and exemplify to the world what God has called us to be and do. To function in the life-giving power of marriage between a man and a woman, which affects how you do your dating before you're married. Malachi 2, it says, this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears and with weeping and groaning because he has no longer regard for your offerings and accepts that favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? Oh, now that makes sense. How does the oneness occur? By the portion of the Spirit. And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not be faithless. Why does he give this warning? Because we are all prone to this. And what does it mean to honor the wife of your youth? What if you're not married? That means to keep yourself pure until the day of marriage. Don't live together before marriage. Don't have sex before marriage, because that is not what a Christian does. If you're not a Christian, I mean, obviously there's no rules. You live however you want, but we know the end result is death. Eternal separation from God. But only through the grace in Jesus Christ can we overcome and make changes in your life. I've seen people make drastic changes in their life and in their marriage. Even when things seem so hopeless, Jesus Christ comes in by the power, that Spirit he talks about, that comes in the union. Like what we witnessed with Eric and Holly, who were living together before marriage, and all of a sudden they confess their sins and they separate and they get marriage counsels. Now look at the beautiful children and the beautiful marriage and the family that God has blessed them with. It can happen. God is a miracle working God. Marriage from the beginning does not include divorce. It's because the sinfulness of the hardened heart. Don't let your heart be hardened. There are so many people today that live in a place where we continue to do what's wrong, and we do it enough, and we do it over and over and over and over again to the point that our heart becomes so hard. But I want to say today, will today be the day that you open up yourself to the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God touch you with the oil and soften the heart and move in a mighty way in your life? Now, there's questions that come from this, and one of the commentators said, well, in the context of sexual immorality, would it include having sexual relationships with somebody, or what does it mean? It includes sex outside of marriage with anyone, the practice of homosexuality, incest, and bestiality. So basically, it's anything outside of marriage, the sexual intercourse with somebody. That's adultery. That's what he's talking about here. And then, what's the one exception? The one sin is what tears apart the flesh. And it's punishable by death in the Old Testament, and thank God we don't live in the Old Testament now, but that is committing adultery. Adultery does not necessitate this divorce. So I want to move on to the second point. Marriage from the beginning is between one man and one woman. Now Jesus goes on, and these Pharisees are trying to trick him. Did you notice that? So Jesus, we're about to trip you up. But now, he says, let's go back to the beginning. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. God made them male and female. This is why I told you all to pray in the prayer room this morning. This is something that our culture does not want to hear or accept. But I want to plead. I want to plead with you today to help and minister to people around us. This self-fulfillment that we think brings peace does not bring peace. Why is it that people's lives are being destroyed today? Because we've allowed culture to redefine what marriage is, even that it's no longer between a man and a woman. And I've sometimes gone back and forth and wondered, should we just skip marriage through the state and just have it through the church because the state defines it now between a man and a man and a woman or and all of that. But we know, and this is what we do as we make a covenant before God when we get married in the church, is that I'm going to do it as God defines it. It's between one man and one woman. Not a man and a man. Not a woman and a woman. Not a man and more than one woman, or a woman of more than one man. Not a man or a woman with animals. This is so heavy and hard. Listen to the book of Corinthians. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And this is how serious this is. We know we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by whether or not we commit sexual immorality or not. But the proof of being saved and having the Spirit of God in our lives is that He changes our marriage. He changes our how we view sex and how we view our dating. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So he's talking about people who practice this as a lifestyle, knowing that it's wrong, continuing to willfully do it. He said, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Marriage from the beginning is between one man and one woman. And if you're struggling with the homosexuality thing, I want to say this. When a homosexual or someone that's practicing homosexuality walks in our church and is a part, we're to love them and be around them and encourage them as much as we can. If someone comes and says, I want to be saved and I want to become a member of the church, and they say, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to keep doing it, then that's where the problem starts. But when someone's not saved, they don't know any better. It's all sin leads to hell, right? Apart from Jesus Christ. So throw away the homophobic stuff. Love on people. But at the same time, in our families, as in our churches, in our marriages, is that we hold to what God says in His Word. And in from a society stance, in a political stance, that we will not support or vote for people that have lost their minds. Decided to redefine what God decided from the beginning. What's God's decide? What God decided. All right, number three. Marriage from the beginning establishes a healthy family unit. And by the way, this is God's way of growing one of God's way of growing the kingdom of God, is that you raise healthy families who will grow up and have healthy families themselves that reach people with the gospel. And so your kids get saved, and then your kids meet a Christian spouse, and then they multiply. And so you see how God's church multiplies. But he says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. Now, I want to just say really quickly, for those of you that are still single and heading towards married, and those of you that have kids that are heading fast in that direction, when he says to leave, you have to let go. The apron strings have to be cut. It can't be me, mom, and my wife. It's not going to work. That's not God's plan. Don't meddle. If you want to help your sons and daughters and give them some financial blessing at their marriage, but after that, stay out of it. If they come to you, if they both come to you for advice, then give them advice. But never take sides, because this is why he says you've got to leave and you're starting your own family unit. It's not, I'm leaving now, but then dad is still controlling what I do with my life. Cut the apron strings. It's leaving and holding fast to your wife. It means to leave behind. Or it's like those that he uses this example in the Greek definition of sailing past without stopping. It's like driving by mom and dad's house without stopping now. So when you head towards marriage, it doesn't mean you don't stop respecting your parents, but you have your own family and your own home that you've established. And then he says to hold fast to your wife. That means to stick close or follow closely. We use the word cleave in the King James, but it means to be joined together, to stick with like glue. Number four, marriage from the beginning demands intimacy and faithfulness. Now, this is a difficult one, and I was talking to Tanya last night. He says, and the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. The beginning demands marital intimacy and faithfulness. They are one in their human nature. They do not lose their individual. So when he says be one in our human nature, he's not meaning, like when Tanya and I got married, that her personality changes and it becomes just like my personality and she does whatever I want her to do. Doesn't mean that. Sometimes we think it does, but it doesn't. It means that we keep our individuality, and if you picture it like that, if you're making a scarf and you have two threads of different color and you weave them together, it becomes a beautiful scarf. But one scarf, right? Not two. One scarf. When we marry, when God joins us together and makes us one, we have our one in our vision and our goals for life. We're one in our finances. And I want to say this loudly and very clearly. If you have my bank account and her bank account and you can't have access to that, there's going to be problems. There is going to be problems in your marriage unless you combine the finances. And there's nothing wrong with having, you know, different bank accounts, but can your spouse have access to that? You know, I've seen over and over again in marriages where one spouse has this little secret hidden account on the side either to buy video games or do this or do that, and then the family suffers because of it. So one in your finances, one in your communication. So the two things that causes divorce or that causes struggle in our relationships, the main things are money and lack of communication. Those are the two things you got to watch out for. But when we become one in our flesh, we have common goals. Now, before we got married, I was not taught how to handle my finances, and Tanya is, and I even kind of tease her and make fun of her, and you get her talking about Dave Ramsey and the financial course and all this kind of stuff, you'll be here all day. But before I got married, I spent a lot of my money on stupid stuff like going out to eat. Hallelujah. After I was married, now all of a sudden I was quoting scriptures like, the wife is like the constant nag on the corner of the roof. How wrong I was! Because she knew how to save, she has, you know, and God has blessed us and we are able to save, and pretty soon, hopefully, we'll be completely out of debt. Sooner than I ever would have been. A woman that came to the United States with nothing and had more in her savings than I did, who had higher paying jobs for a longer period of time than she did. When we become one, we share the finances together. And by the way, not only is there this oneness occurring, but that there's no other people in this union. In other words, we're faithful to one another. Faithful to one another. As you grow in your marriage, and this is one thing Tanya and I talked about last night. When we grow in our marriage, we grow in oneness and we get to know one another a little bit and we become smart like this guy, right? Don't ever answer that question. Honey, does this outfit make me look this way? Be carefully choose your words. Because you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. Just say, I love you and you look beautiful in all the clothes. You will. You'll still get in trouble, but less in trouble, as if you were to open your mouth and say something. All right, marriage from the beginning demands this marital intimacy. And I want to encourage you, and here's some verses of Scripture. Hebrews 13 says, "Let marriage be held in high honor among you all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." So what he's saying here is, God, if as a Christian, the past is the past. You may have made mistakes last week or last month or last year, but moving on from now, he says, make your marriage bed undefiled. He says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If the Lord is our helper and our strength and our confidence, we can be content. And the problem comes when we struggle with money and we struggle with communication and we start looking over the fence a little bit and like, what would life be like with that girl? What would be life with that man? And we start to go down that path. But I will say that I want to challenge you and encourage you, if you're involved in sexual immorality right now in your life, today is the day to stop. Just like what Holly and Eric did. And the blessing that comes from God moving powerfully in our lives, oh, it can't be beaten. 1 Thessalonians says, this is the will of God that you abstain from sexual immorality. So marriage from the beginning demands marital intimacy and faithfulness. Now, I want to talk about one thing here, is that if it's so so important, if you want to honor the marriage bed and save yourself from marriage, or if you're in marriage, maintain your sexual integrity with your wife, is that you have to set boundaries. Now, you've seen the world is strewn, except for the grace of God, there go I too, with pastors and leaders and people and Christians in the church who have fallen into immorality. But you look at one man like Billy Graham and you wonder, why was this guy able to maintain his integrity for all those years? Well, I worked a little bit for the Billy Graham Association and I did some training there, and they had some strict rules, but basically from the example of his life is that he made sure that he never ever went anywhere alone with another woman. He just made that the standard of his life. And so I want to encourage you, men and women, and there's going to be times that your marriage is struggling, and you're going to want to look out, not in the middle of the night on social media, reaching out to people saying, I'm lonely, reaching out to another man or another woman and all this kind of stuff. Not to invite a woman to lunch if you're married and if your wife is not with you, is to set those boundaries. And we know clearly that's unhealthy and that leads down the wrong road, and it's not protecting our brothers and sisters. Set boundaries for your integrity. Avoid setting up meetings or activities with the opposite sex without your spouse with you. And that's one thing that always try to be careful with counseling at church. If a woman's in the office, we leave the door open, or Tanya gets involved in the counseling. And even if someone comes in, or a man or a woman comes in for counsel, I usually get their permission to consult with my wife because we're one. There's not secrets. There shouldn't be secrets if you're one. And as we grow in our marriage, there becomes less and less and less secrets. There becomes more and more openness. There becomes, and so when somebody says, well, don't tell your wife this, you can be sure, no, I'm going to tell her that. Because we're one. We're one. But Satan can get his gritty hands on our lives. People come in and say, well, kind of ease their way in. Set those boundaries. Social media, on the phone. Is your marriage in a wreck right now? Come to the Lord. Set boundaries. Get on the path again. Sit down for a moment with your wife or your husband. Look them in the eyes. Allow God to rekindle that flame of passion for your spouse. Try not to bring up serious discussions right before bedtime at night. That's where I get in trouble all the time. Yeah, it was last night. I said, what about this oneness thing? Let's talk about that. What does that really mean? What does that look like? What can I say tomorrow, Tanya? But she had some good things to say, which I already shared with you. Grow in our marriage. Had to throw one more thing to lighten it. How many wives can relate to this? I'd recommend, we have the wrong time kind of TVs now. It's flat screen. It's kind of hard to get in there now, so hide to the back. Number five, marriage from the beginning is a covenant established by God that is not to be tampered with by humans. And that's what Jesus is. When he wraps up this passage, what he says in verse 8, the two shall become one. They are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So he's telling these Pharisees, yeah, Moses gave it the certificate of divorce because of the hardness of your heart. But this is God's plan, is that you stay together for life inside the bounds of marriage. You will experience shalom peace with that because God is the center of it. We should take great care in our dating if we're single, in our marriages, because marriage is a God thing. It's not a me thing or a state thing or an American thing. God ordained marriage. God ordained marriage. He gave it to us as a precious gift. That we get to spend a lifetime unpacking this wonderful human being. That God is blessed with gifts. Your spouse, think about your spouse now. Think about maybe your future. If you're single right now, your future mate, whoever that might be, is to save yourself for that person. Because it's a covenant with God. God ordained your marriage. God put you together and we don't have any right to break it up. So I want to encourage you, if your marriage is in the midst of struggle, there's a couple things I just want to leave with you to do. Husbands, because the Bible talks about husbands sacrificing, and I agree with Dr. Tony Evans when he says this, and it's very extreme, but men, and it's the order of creation, if your wife has done something wrong, are you willing to sacrifice and take even responsibility for her mistakes as well as yours? That's the man's responsibility. Now, yes, they're responsible before God, to God to forgive their sins. But what I mean is, are you willing to sacrifice and give up your pride for the sake of your spouse? Jesus talks about men sacrificing and loving their wives just as Christ loved the church. And what did he do? He gave his life. Will you be willing to give your life for her? Wives, do whatever it takes to show respect and regard to your husband and forgive him of his past mistakes. So the best thing you can do is to show your husband respect. See, women need to be sacrificed for. Men need to be respected, and God designed it that way. That's why I worded it that way in Ephesians. And here's another thing. I always tell people that it's so stupid. I think it's just, I'm going to say it right now. It's stupid when people think that it's beyond themselves to get counseling or help.
Amen.
Stupid. Yet that's our culture around. Well, I don't have anything wrong with my life, and we just hide things. Well, man, if our car's broken down, we get it fixed. If we have a problem with having headaches all the time, we go to the doctor. When we deal with struggle and trauma in our life, get counseling. If you get on our website and there's a resources part there that talks about marriage, there's marriage seminars that you can go to. In fact, I think they do them online. I'd say go and do that. It's one of the greatest seminars. What was it called again? New Life Live, New Life Seminars. The link will be on our website. Start looking at what you're not doing together as one. Are you going to church together? Are your bank accounts together? So start asking those questions and start to make some changes. Spiritually, we have to be on the same page with our wife. And if they're not there where we are, we gently go with them and lead them until they are. Go to church with your wife. Wives, go to church with your husbands. I know throughout the years of pastoring churches, there was different couples that, this is my church over here, the husband, and then the wife had a church over here. I'm thinking, how is that going to work when the best way to grow spiritually is to grow spiritually together? Folks, this is a call to radical discipleship, and that's why Jesus, in the midst of dealing with his apostles, inserts this in. Followers of Jesus honor marriage between one man and one woman and understand that God establishes as a result. We as humans have no right absolutely at all to tamper with it today. I want to invite the worship team to come this morning. Some of this stuff offended me in my nature, sinful nature. Some of this stuff probably offended you. But don't let what I say offend you. Look at what God says in His Word. The two shall become one flesh. God instituted marriage for our shalom peace, for us to be successful as we're meant to be as His created beings in His image. If you're here today, instead of wallowing in shame and anger and pain, I want to invite you to come before God and say, God, soften my hard heart. Come down to this altar today. God, move in my life. Change me. And then maybe find another brother or sister or an elder in this church and say, you know what? I'm making some steps of change today, right now. And I'm going to come down to this altar and I'm going to make things right before the Lord today. And find somebody and be accountable to them. Let them help you. Go to one of these marriage seminars. Get counseling. If you need help finding counselors, just call the church office. There's lots of resources out there. But folks, we are on the edge of the soon return of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Let's give Him our marriages. Because if it's one sure thing this nation needs right now that is going in the wrong direction, is for the church to once again honor marriage as Jesus Christ taught. So exemplify what He's done. And I want you to know today that there is grace and forgiveness. This is not to condemn and say, well, okay, I've failed. That's it. No. Jesus corrects these Pharisaical leaders, these false teachers, so that we know that there's hope in life to make a change and to make a decision today to allow God to come and purify our hearts. Would you come today? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before Your Word, and God, we submit. And I pray all over in this room, God, for those that are single and that will soon possibly be getting married, I pray that You would purify them, that You'd help them to remain pure sexually, and that they would save themselves for their spouse. Lord, I pray for those that are married in here today. God, for every husband, every wife, God, to be strengthened to become one. to be excited even today, God, about the prospect of how can I become more one with my spouse. I just pray that the Lord will unleash an excitement among each person here that you can't wait to get home and sit and look at your spouse in the eyes. Say, how can we become more one? What do we need to renew in our lives today? Oh, Father, send your blessing. Send your power, Lord Jesus. Only you can change our hearts. Thank you, Lord. God is sovereign over our lives. He's sovereign over our marriages. And as we sing this song and the Lord is working in your heart for prayer about anything in regards of being a better husband, a better wife, and a better person that's in the process of dating, or a single person being committed, Lord, come down and get prayer today. I want to pray for you. Don't wait.